B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
All right, welcome to the first Nerd Radio of 2019. It is Chuck Bean, joined by James.
What's up?
And Al Beck. Welcome back, fellas.
Yeah, you should have got some of those party noisemakers.
Yeah.
Those real cheap ones you get at the dollar store, you know?
Wait, are you giving me extra work already? I need to put those in post?
No, I think it was covered. Happy
like
New
kazoo,
Year,
but
all that great stuff.
Happier.
I want to skip past all that, Chuck, and get right to...
Oh, geez.
James on Raw.
Jesus.
I said, yeah, it's great to see all you guys. Right. I missed you. We've been off for a week and a half or whatever. Yeah.
All
it's
right.
great.
No,
cool. It's awesome. Happy New Year. But James.
Something that happened in my life a week ago. It's been on TV for 2 days now.
I've been
on the internet forever.
It's great that now that you're famous, that you're still with us,
that you're still
slumming it down here at Nerd Radio. We appreciate it.
I'm like the Weekly World News of Wrestling famous.
Yeah,
I guess is how you could describe it.
Yeah.
A couple of wrestling blogs.
It brought me so much delight to watch that unfold on social media.
Finally, we found a way to get Alan to wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just to put somebody he knows.
Hey,
in
yeah, you want to talk Attitude Era? That was my...
That's true.
All I got to do is get my sign removed and then trash talk a wrestler and make the blogs. And Al's involved. He's vested now.
Yeah.
He wants to know what's going on.
All right, so let's back up. Monday Night Raw was in town this past...
It was a Friday night.
I'd say this past week.
Yeah.
They filmed, to kind of ruin the illusion for those of you who don't know, they filmed New Year's Eve's Raw Friday night here in Detroit City and then aired it as if it was going on live on Monday night. So myself, you were there. I had seats up in the lower bowl, but you were down like right in the thick of things, right in the front row.
Yeah, my girlfriend got lucky. One of her coworkers ended up getting like front row ringside tickets and hooked her up. She also works in the industry. So they get taken care of a little bit better over there. We'll put it that way.
But you know what? I never complain about free tickets.
No. Neither here.
Yeah.
But we had bought seats on the floor anyways. We would have been closer to like where the wrestlers were walking out.
Right.
Just because I got this giant sign of my face. Just my giant stupid face. 3 feet tall, 2 feet wide. I got printed up. I just wanted to get my giant ass face on TV.
And we were excited. Me and Amy were like, we're going to be able to figure out where James is because he's got a giant
version
of his
face. Marks the spot. Like, here's your treasure map. I'm right here. Here's your treasure.
Yeah.
WWE. And second we get in there, because the way the seats were, before my butt even touched the chair, security snatched it right out of my hands.
Really?
Yes.
Did they say anything? That they were like, you can't.
Because I was feeling like the guys saw I was ready to fight. Like, I was already, I was stoked. We got upgraded. You know, my girlfriend got the tickets for upgraded to front row ringside.
Yeah.
So I got my giant face. My face is going to be all over the internet, all over the WWE universe. You know, all you can see is my stupid face ready to take a money shot right there. And so the security guard yanked it away, and I was like, oh, here we go. I'm like, I'm going to get that back, right? He's like, yeah, I'll give it to you at the end of the show.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good.
It's ready to travel with me to Phoenix when I go to Royal Rumble.
There you go.
So I started asking the guy a couple questions. You could tell I'm pissed because I'm like,
it's
a $50 sign. I just paid $50 for this.
That was going to be my other question. Yeah. If you didn't want to answer, I was wondering how expensive the sign was.
Yeah, it's $50. You can get them online for a few dollars cheaper, but mine was kind of a last minute deal. And I found a local sign shop that printed it up for me, but it's like $50.
For what you were wanting to do with it, though. Money well spent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
cool. I can see my giant face on TV or whatever.
Yeah, saying you've got a brand that you're building on with the with the radio thing and everything.
WWE that one night of Raw.
Yeah.
So I guess as it turns out, being on that side of the ring because we're on camera side, we're on the hard camera side.
Yep.
If I were to hold that up, I'm going to block the
block
camera.
The cameras.
So I understand why they took it away.
Right.
One of the wrestling blog sites totally blew it out of proportion.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ringside News. I believe that was the blog. Whoever was there, if you're affiliated, you follow me on Twitter or whatever, thank you so much for helping blow that up way out of proportion. But essentially, there's nothing wrong with my sign. People thought I had like a giant penis on a sign.
Right.
Or it was like a nude man or there's some crazy. They described it as security takes away wild sign.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, is my face that wild? I don't know. Like, is it because my face is so weird? That? Like, wild?
It's expressive.
I'm a wild guy.
It's actually
expressive.
It's expressive. It's very expressive. That's for sure. Expressive.
So, like, that went down.
And that's only half of the story.
Yeah.
Like, that's the front half of the story.
Yeah, that was the first thing that I noticed I'm at the show.
But about the sign, though, like you said, like, people were like, what kind of sign was it? You know, and there is a theme with the morning show that it could have been anything.
Yeah, that's true.
And I didn't realize that you were going to have the sign. So the first I even knew you were taking some, I think you had mentioned a sign before, and I just hadn't thought of it again. And so your post that they took my sign away was like, oh, yeah, I don't even know what the sign was. So I'm doing the same thing. Like, what the hell did James take to the Little Caesars Arena?
Well, there's only really three sign ideas that I have that I want to actually do, which I'll probably take with me down to the Royal Rumble at the end of the month. But I want, I'm a scenosexual.
Okay.
With some hunky pictures of John Cena. And then Elias sucks at guitar.
Right.
That's the other thing, which
segues into the next part of the story.
Which kind of gives you...
got me noticed by the same blog, a couple different blogs, WWF, Old School, or something like that. Sorry, I don't have the names correctly. And then Ringside News also. So we've talked before, Chuck and I and Erica.
You are not an
wrestling.
You are not an Elias fan.
I am not an Elias fan because I think he sucks at guitar. And his whole thing is he comes out and plays guitar. Shut up, okay? Honky Tonk Man wannabe. It's like Honky Tonk Man bangs a rock, and this is who Elias is. You know, like, just get out of here,
well,
Elias.
See, now that you put in perspective for me, because I know who both of those guys are, I have no idea who Elias is.
Yeah, so Elias comes out, and he's doing his guitar thing, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs from the front row, straight at him, Elias sucks at guitar! I'm getting a good reaction from the crowd. Like, it's rare that this happens where I can hear the crowd laughing with me instead of at me or booing me or the usual antics I get, just dead silence.
Did you share those on your Twitter as well, James?
Oh yeah, those videos are there.
Yeah, anywhere that exists. Like, the videos are on my Twitter, at WhoTheFIsJC. Also, the links to all the stories, all my Twitter, on my Facebook. If you just look up at WhoTheFIsJC and probably WWE, you'll find the things that I'm talking about. So I'm screaming that as loud as I can. I only did it three times.
Yeah.
So then one of the dudes that was sitting next to me, he kind of hits my arm and points at the security guard. He's like, what do you think homeboy over there thinks about that? And he heard him say that. So then now me and the security guard make eye contact.
Uh-huh.
He shoots me the look of death.
Oh, no.
So, like, he puts the hand across his throat, you know, like the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And he's
like,
knock it off.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not screaming Elias sucks at guitar anymore. I'd rather
or
not.
So we thought.
Yeah. So then Elias gets into it with Corbin, and they start wrestling, and they end up going over the barricade right where I'm standing. So I got my phone out, and now I'm recording them fight as I'm yelling, Elias still sucks at guitar! You still suck at guitar! You still suck at guitar! They told me not to say it, but you still suck at guitar! So I got that on video and sent that out, and then they got picked up by the wrestling blogs, and now everybody knows me as a WWE guy.
Right.
Which
as
is
the
cool,
as
now I'm
the
known
Elias,
as the guy from People at Walmart, you know? I'm known.
Right. That's right.
You know? I'm known as also being the guy on the WWE.
You're the Elias sucks at guitar
heckler. Yeah.
What are you going to do if that becomes a thing?
If that becomes like a shirt or something at the WWE, I swear to God, I'm going to find the best damn lawyer money can buy. And I'm going to own a part of the WWE.
Well, I'm not even talking that. Like, what if, you know, starting next week on Raw, there's just a chant of Elias sucks a guitar blows up into a thing.
Dream come true. I'm going to have a full-blown erection every single time I'm watching Raw's War. And it's not because John Cena's back.
I know. They played the video saying that John Cena would be on SmackDown the next night.
Yeah,
I'm like, no! James has got to be pissed.
Why not tonight? Because I'm front row and I'm going to go to jail if John Cena comes out.
And then... They at the end of the show, they're like, so next week on Raw, we're doing this. And John Cena's coming back. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, just barely. John Cena dodged a bullet. I'm going to tell you with that. John Cena's the one that dodged a bullet. I probably dodged some jail time. John Cena dodged a bullet. But going to see
delightful.
Raw from that, like, I recommend anybody who's kind of just fringe into wrestling, if you have an opportunity, I know people, money's tight, like, they're hard to come by. But if you can see, like, wrestling from that close.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Do it. Like, it's you see a little bit more, you can tell a little bit more, like, the theatric, some of the stuff is not real, but then you also see which wrestlers either have some liberties when they're stopping you with the boot. You can see that boot stopping. You can see some of the punches get missed, but it's interesting and it's fun. Yeah. And as long as you're into it and you know who to cheer for and whatever. One of the funnest nights of wrestling ever in my life without the social media interaction.
I mean, I had a floor experience one time, and this is after, like I said, Attitude Era when I was a kid.
Sure.
I was super into wrestling back then.
Yeah, so we could bring signs that would say, show me your tatas and stuff.
Yeah. But it was encouraged.
Yes.
But, you know, it was a few years ago with the radio station. We gave away tickets, and it was just a house show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was just a house show, and I was there to be the radio station liaison, and our winners met some wrestlers backstage, and then we were supposed to sit. It was me and the rock girl supposed to hang out with the, you know. And that wasn't front row. It was floor, though, but same thing. It was like, I'm not even into this, and it's kind of cool
being that close.
Yeah. And the house shows, as Chuck has said before, sometimes you get those are more fun
because
they're a little less regimented because you got to deal with television.
Like the dark matches.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say.
The dark match.
You stuck around for the dark match, and it was pretty cool.
Rollins and Ambrose in a steel cage.
I love Dean Ambrose coming down the ramp and going like, no! Yep. No, who did this? And telling the guys, put the cage back up. Yeah. Oh, I'm not doing it before the match started. And then they had a fun match.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did you go back and watch Raw on TV?
Yeah.
Could you hear yourself?
You couldn't hear James.
I couldn't hear.
However, I think it's like first or second segment, the camera just right on you and Cody.
Right on me and my girlfriend. Everybody's like, I love the broad who's not even into it.
I know. She's on her phone.
She's taking hot pics of shirtless hunks right now. Okay? Seth Rollins was in the ring. He just took his shirt off.
That was the other thing. Was watching her post stuff, too.
Because she's got like all these hunky shots like Finn Balor and Seth Rollins and like all the dudes that she thinks are hot, you know, with their shirts off. She's texting all her friends. So. Yeah.
I mean, I gave her a hard time, too, for looking really into it on your Instagram post, but I know her, so. I made fun of her, and then I tagged her in it to make sure she saw it.
Yeah, it is funny, because everybody's like, you got like a row of like three dudes that are totally into it, and then just my girlfriend, but you can't really tell the way the camera was positioned, but that's her with her phone up, so you don't see her arm, you just see a girl standing there who looks kind of like not so impressed. But she's trying to get that perfect shot.
She's getting some photos for later.
Yeah. She's trying to get those hot pics. I'm kind of bummed out, though, because the biggest moment that I would have been on TV was with Rollins versus Bobby Lashley.
Yep.
And Bobby Lashley gets thrown right into the barricade right in front of us.
Oh, okay.
And he actually, you son of a bitch, Bobby Lashley, you made me spill an $8 soda.
Oh, no.
So, oh, my gosh.
I actually got knocked back. I'm like, great, I'm going to be on TV. I'm pretty much falling.
And James has a chair.
Yeah, I'm falling. And then I guess I spilled my pop. They had been pop all over the place. Because by the time I went down after the match, once the adrenaline went down, I went to reach under to get my pop. I'm, oh, my God.
Oh, no, it's gone.
There goes an $8 Diet Coke.
Yeah. No.
So, but yeah, there's a part where, what's his name? Leo.
Leo Rush.
Yeah, Leo Rush, like, doesn't move off the barricade right in front of us. And I haven't gone back to find that, but, like, when you see it, you just see my girlfriend, like, mouth open, like, the same expression that I have on my sign.
Yeah.
You know, she had that expression, like, when he jumped up on the barricade and did a move. And it's a blast. If anybody can ever see wrestling, even if you go to, like, your local. Like a local wrestling match. Or
Like even going to, I love going to, well, we did the video. Was it last year, 2 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, we did the two guys, one video game review. But yeah, Detroit Style Wrestling let us in.
Yeah, but I've gone and seen Detroit Style Wrestling multiple times after that and getting to be, you know, like that close to guys. Because you do see a lot of guys that are just starting out and aren't as good as the guys you'll see on TV. But then you see a lot of guys, you're like, why isn't that guy on TV?
Yeah.
That guy's great.
Some amazing, amazing talent, like in the independent scene or the unknown talent that you can actually see. Like, even for me, when I went, I did a commentary for CWL. We did one pilot, and I was on commentary with Stryker.
Yeah.
That was some of the most entertaining wrestling that I've actually watched in a while.
Right.
You know, like, it's people I've never heard of. I don't know.
But those guys are the hungriest.
That's the thing. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people that are into football prefer college football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
those guys are way hungrier.
They're way hungrier.
They're watching millionaires, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're watching.
But very similar when you watch the small wrestling type of shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my Raw experience.
Well, that is one thing, because you guys had like 2 weeks off. I've been here the whole time. But you guys have been gone for like a week and a half. So over the holidays, a lot of stuff happened. We'll get to all that coming up next. We're going to reset right now. Before we do, I want to mention the fact that this week you're almost, if you're a Nerd Radio listener of our podcast, you're pretty much getting Christmas come late. Because this is the first of two episodes that I'm going to be recording for this week. The second is going to be an all wrestling episode, because this week, Friday morning at about 3 a.m. is Wrestle Kingdom. So me and Erica are going to run down Wrestle Kingdom, as well as some other stuff that's going on with the Elite, or the Bullet Club, if you will. That episode is going to go up on our podcast page Wednesday night, and this episode will go up Friday morning. So it's a little bit of timey-wimey stuff.
Yes. I was going to say.
Recording one episode before the other one and then releasing them in reverse order.
Yes.
So the people who are hearing this now, the episode is already available, so go download it.
So go download it. If you're a wrestling fan, go download it.
Stuff?
However, if you're a Nerd Radio fan but not a wrestling fan, well, that's all the wrestling talk you're going to get for this episode. So, stick around.
Yeah. And this wasn't planned. I had to get that.
But you had to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had to know. Absolutely.
All right. Shut up, Chuck. Don't care. James, let's hear about your Christmas.
Tell me about the wrestling.
Right. All right. Nerd Radio coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Don Gibb, Ogre, Dr. Death, Jackson, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. It's more Nerd Radio right here, wherever you get your podcast. We are everywhere now.
We are worldwide.
Oh my God. Go ahead.
We're on the iTunes. We're on the Spotify. We're on the Omni Network. We're, everywhere.
B-Pod
Studios. Yep.
So I can now officially brand myself as world famous.
World famous.
World famous.
Boom. Just like all those pizza joints and chicken joints that claim to be world famous, yet no one's ever heard of them.
I think once you made that Walmart website, you were probably world famous.
World famous?
Yeah.
Oh, so world famous since 2013?
There you go.
You need to
start putting that thing like all the restaurants do since 2013.
Yeah, world famous. How are you world famous? Well, I've been on People Walmart twice. That's about it.
Right.
Yeah.
James L. Beck.
We have a totally different definition of fame here at the Nerd Radio podcast.
Yes.
James and Al Beck joining me, Chuck being here.
Worldwide availability. There we go.
for this week's, the first week of 2019's Nerd Radio. So we found out a little bit about what James was doing over the holidays. Al, what were your holidays like?
You know what? I did some TV. I read a bunch of comics, which was nice. I know, because I was so far behind.
Did the bug bite you again, or are you just like, no, I got to get through these?
I wouldn't say it was the bug bite, but I had some time to really sit down, and, I had a really busy Christmas half of the break, and then the second half, there wasn't a whole lot going on. One of the days, I screwed up my back, so I was, couch-ridden anyway.
How's it going, old man?
I know, dude. And it was seriously, what'd you do? I'm over 30. That's what happened to my back, is I'm over 30.
I tried to tie my shoe.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that! I heard it sleeping!
Dude, there was one time I tried to get off the couch, and I hurt my back.
No, that's what happened.
That was the one thing that drove me actually to the doctor to find out I had some major problems. But anyway,
I'm
on the ground hoping, can my dog help pick me up?
Right. You're like, this will go away, right?
Yeah.
If I just stay in this position, this will go away
eventually.
For a minute. I say that because I've been there. I'm calling you the old man.
I think we've all been there.
Change the name of the podcast. The old men in a podcast.
The sad thing, Chuck, though, is I read a bunch of comics and I still have a stack that's about 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
You done with that Batman dong yet?
Yeah.
To borrow that one.
Yeah. I do got to bring that in so you can flip through it. But, you've seen it. You've seen the pictures on the internet.
It's not the same as seeing in person. You
know? Be careful. That thing's worth money.
I can see porn stars on the internet, but it's not the same as seeing a porn star in person.
That's true.
I mean, they're usually much less attractive, but.
In person.
Yes, in person.
It's a drawing of a bat dong instead of a picture of a drawing of a bat dong.
But it's a bat dong drawing by a legitimate comic book artist.
And it's not erect.
Right. Yes. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
It's not like a bathroom stall drawing of a wiener like I've left 1,000 times.
Yeah, right.
This is somebody got paid big bucks to draw this dong.
That's true.
But it was funny because I'm reading comics, and I think the last one I read, I was like, man, I'm really getting through this. And it was an issue at Deadpool, and I start flipping through. I'm like, oh my God, this is the Halloween issue.
Oh, wow.
I just got to 2 days ago.
Well, I mean, you're getting closer.
I'm getting there, yeah. So I did that, and I finally got to sit down and spend some time with Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah? What are your thoughts?
I think it's great. I still haven't gone online, though, which is an issue that you've had.
Sure.
Because I caught myself thinking, can you do the solo, I want to go play by myself, or just you and I hook up,
right.
James has got a PS4 now, can the three of us
I'm sure.
just open up this game and go do missions on our own and not worry about the rest of the, the people.
I don't know about not worry about the rest of the people, but it definitely helps to have friends.
We start on because that
way, yeah, because that way when somebody, because it feels like there's the game rewards you in the multiplayer for being a jerk. You know, like I think I told you about, whenever you do a mission,
it lets
everybody in the area know you're in the middle of a mission, mm-hmm. and they get points if they can stop you.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a group that's going to make it harder for them to stop you from doing the thing.
Okay.
I'll never play it online.
I know.
Because that goes, like, you're just listing off every reason I hate online gaming.
Yeah, it's exactly why people like yourself avoid online gaming. Yeah. It's because, like, oh, so everybody's a jerk. Yeah. Like, it encourages everyone to troll you because
I don't play games enough. Like, it ends up not being fun for me. That's right. The problem.
Oh, I got you.
You know, like James, you've got your webisode series, The Casual Gamer. It's funny that you call it that. For years, that's how I've described myself, is I'm, at best, a casual gamer.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'll go through little spurts with certain games here and there, but I don't play enough. I'm terrible at it. If I end up playing a Call of Duty game, I'll play against bots if I'm doing like the
same.
Just because
prestige four times or whatever.
No,
it's the same thing with like I got Smash Brothers before Christmas and stuff like that, and like I'll set up a whole bunch of dudes, but then I'll set all their difficulty levels, and I'll make one dude that's kind of good, and then I'll make everybody else an idiot.
Yeah.
Just so I know, like, okay, one of those guys is dangerous.
Yep. Yeah. But, I mean, there's no stopping trolls if, like, without incentive. But now they're being rewarded. Like, if I can't go into a private mode, which is one of the things I love so much about the first Red Dead Redemption online multiplayer, was that you could do a private match, and you could play by yourself. Or maybe you and I could just, that's what my brother and I used to do all the time. Just he and I would hook up and go shoot some outlaws and ride around the countryside and whatever, and it was fun to me.
Well, I certainly don't have enough experience to say whether or not that's a
true
thing, because I've been kind of dragging my feet playing it because I have another game that I'm like, okay, I want to finish this game, and then I can play right
now. You got like 5 minutes.
The game where you have to like study for tests and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, the Persona 5. Yeah.
Did you pass that last exam you had to get ready for?
Not yet. I still got a lot of studying to do.
Got the big SAT.
I'm trying to get those anime girlfriends, too. Oh. Take them out on dates and give them gifts.
Man,
stuff.
Good grades and anime girlfriends.
You have to study in this game?
You don't have to really study, but you have to go to school during the day, and sometimes they'll throw you like trivia questions.
Like a pop quiz?
Yeah, like a pop quiz.
Like who's the fourth president of the United States of America? You're like, crap.
And then near the end of the semester, they'll be like a week of tests, which will be like all the pop quizzes that you've answered in the thing. So if you got them right, then you'll remember what the answer is. But if you got them wrong, well, it's multiple choice. So I got to guess which of the other two is it.
Huh.
And then in the meantime, you're running dungeons and fighting monsters just like you would in a Final Fantasy.
As you would. Which,
right.
Which,
and then getting anime girlfriends
which
as well.
Which one is this?
It's called Persona. Persona 5. I think when I told you guys about it last year, it's like, it's Final Fantasy for people that Final Fantasy isn't anime enough for.
Oh, yes. That's how you described it. I remember now.
Okay.
I enjoy it. I enjoy
the series.
My
curiosity peaked when you're like, you have to go to school and take tests. Like, oh my God, that's what I hated about going to school the most.
Yeah, it sounds terrible, you know.
I'll tell you what, though.
Because we talked about this before, about when you get so involved in your character in the video game. Like, my Red Dead Redemption, my Arthur Morgan is undernourished because I keep forgetting to eat.
You keep forgetting to feed him?
I don't think about it. Like, I don't feel hungry. Why am I feeding my guy? I don't know.
Don't even get me started, Al.
I don't even want to know how undernourished your horse is.
I'd never forget to pat the horse, though. Hey, there, girl.
Keep that horse happy.
My horse in Red Dead Redemption is way healthier than my guy.
I forgot to mention this to you when we talked about Red Dead Redemption about a month ago. But if you're playing Red Dead Redemption 2, and you go on the online and you're not having a good time, a great alternative, if you have Netflix,
I do.
The Coen brothers released a movie called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
No.
You have to see it.
I know. Because I'm big into Westerns, too.
It's amazingly charming.
Really?
Amazingly charming. It's a Coen brothers movie, so it's weird and funny. The Coen brothers, of course, did like Raising Arizona and
Fargo.
Fargo. Yeah. What's the one with in Texas or something like that?
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. Thank you very much.
With Javier Bardem.
It's kind of an anthology of stories. It's about four or five different stories. Mm-hmm. And the first one is literally the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Buster Scruggs is this cowboy that wears a white suit, and it's a musical. He's playing a guitar. Sitting on his guitar, and he's singing through the whole thing. But he's also the fastest gun in the West kind of thing. And it's there's a really fun...
Roy Rogers or something?
Kinda. Yeah, it's really, like I say, it's charming. When I had a bad time at Red Dead Redemption, I'm like, I'm gonna check out this Buster Scruggs thing. I get to the end of it, I was like, now that's the kind of experience I was looking for. Right.
You still got that Western feel, but you had a good time playing.
Right. That was fun.
I've had a couple people tell me about it because I am really into Western movies.
Yeah, you should check it
out. And I see it every time I open up Netflix. It's right there.
Yep.
So.
Well, yeah, and that's talk about Netflix. That was one of the things I did over the holiday season. Netflix, just like cranking out one thing after another the last couple of months of stuff. Because
did you spend a bunch of time watching Die Hard by chance?
Well, you want to talk about that now?
He's probably looking for his Christmas classic. Realizes it's not in the anthology anymore.
Yeah, well, that's Amy, my girlfriend, wanted to. She saw Die Hard for the first time earlier this year, which Nerd Radio listeners will remember the conversation. And so did Al Beck, which I did not remember. I had gone to one of the local places that resell DVDs, and I'd found the Die Hard collection of four films for I don't know, $4 or something like that. So she'd only seen the first one, and she was like, that was really cool, because she loves Alan Rickman, because she loves Harry Potter and the whole thing.
Alan Rickman's great, though. That guy's awesome.
Absolutely. And I was like, I know.
Dogma, come on.
Right. I know that she also loves Sam Jackson, and I was like, well, you got to see the third one, because Sam Jackson's in the third one, and that's super fun, too. So I found this collection, and we watched the third one, everything like that, and then we talked about it on the show, and I had forgotten that I had given my Die Hard collection to Al Beck way back in the summer.
To be fair, in my defense, when he handed that to me, I tried to talk him out of it.
That's true.
I know better than to accept these DVDs here.
No, that's true. You were like, you may never see these again, kind of thing. And I'm like, no, it's fine.
And sure enough, I finally got, what happened was I always put the stuff I borrow, I put in a spot where it's like right, like on top of the DVD shelf,
Sure.
And so I'd put it up there so I wouldn't lose it, I wouldn't forget it. But the problem is I finally, from the good reverend, he returned my Star Wars collection, which I set on top of there, and Star Wars just completely overshadowed it, so
right,
and it was just there until I saw your post on Facebook.
Yeah, well,
who has my DVDs?
We got around the Christmas season, and Amy's like, well, it's not Christmas until I see Alan Rickman fall off the Nakatomi Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to watch Die Hard, and we start going through the DVDs, and where did the Die Hard collection go? And I was like, I must have let somebody borrow it, but I can't remember who it was.
It was me. I don't know what you're bitching about. It's right in front of you.
Well, it's because you gave it back.
Al Beck.
It's right
here.
The
Grinch that stole Christmas.
Yeah, so we ended up like renting it off Amazon or something like that so that she could see it.
Well, I say technically you owe him probably $4.95 or something, too.
That's did I not offer to give you $3?
You did. I said, no, it was $3 well spent. And we watched Die Hard, and then the night, I think it was like Christmas Eve.
Collection probably cost you $2.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was real cheap. It says $16.99 on it. I'm sure I didn't pay $16.99.
Wait, is every single disc in that one little
case? Four. Yeah, it's the first four Die Hard movies, which I think there's one or two more after this.
Yeah, didn't want to spend any money on a couple extra cases.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Well, I don't know how to tell you this, Chuck, but I didn't watch a single second of that DVD.
I am not surprised. Not in the least. Not
so
at all.
So you haven't seen Die Hard 2 or 3?
Nope.
I don't know.
I've seen the first one once in my life.
One with Kevin Smith?
Oh, the fourth one has Kevin Smith in it.
Is that the Live Free or Die Hard one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Come on, man. Three with Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson, man.
That one makes me uncomfortable with the sign that he has to wear, the sandwich sign.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's some uncomfortable moments in there.
Never saw it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we watched Die Hard on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day I had to work, and on the way home from work I stopped by the video store because I couldn't find Bill Murray's Scrooged anywhere in a streaming service, and I'm like, I need to watch that. It's probably my favorite Christmas movie.
That's a good one.
I think
AMC might have had that to stream, but I don't know if you have cable or not.
Right. So yeah, I you know what? Let's take a break.
Oh my God!
We're going crazy this show here. Let's take a break.
It's been derailed.
We can talk about we still got some headlines to hit, and then there, like I said, Netflix released two different things that I caught up on that I need to tell you about because they are great.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, we'll call me anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
All right, welcome back. It's more Nerd Radio right here on, well, wherever you get your podcast.
Just when you thought you had enough.
Exactly.
Here we are.
Exactly. Al Beck and James hanging out with me as we recount what we've been doing over our holidays and Christmas and New Year's vacation. So, speaking of Netflix, as we were in the last segment, Netflix released two different things over the holidays that I'm sure you guys have seen on social media, even if you haven't actually gone to Netflix to check out. The first being Sandra Bullock in a movie called Bird Box.
Yeah, Bird Box.
So everybody's been flipping out about this thing. Do you remember the movie that came out at the theaters earlier this year that had...
Quiet Place or whatever?
Yes.
Because that's the thing. I didn't see this Bird Box, but I saw a couple references to it online, and I saw... I don't even think I saw a trailer, but I saw a brief synopsis, and I was...
Seen the John Cena meme?
No, I don't think I have.
The John Cena meme was got Sandra Bullock and a kid with the blindfold on,
and he's in front of him doing it.
You can't see me?
Right.
Come on, Al.
No, I had not seen it.
Right there.
Yeah, but no, it was my immediate thought. And I didn't even see The Quiet Place. It just didn't seem to interest me either. But
neither did I. Borrow it, but I see your history with DVDs. I don't think I'm going to let that one go.
Hey, nice callback. I hadn't seen The Quiet Place either, but it was one of those things that
the thing we learned from the last segment, James, is if I try to talk you out of lending me something, take it home.
Fair enough. Yeah, I won't force you. But if Chuck wants to borrow it, the offer's there for both of you guys.
Oh,
just
excellent.
Let me know.
Excellent.
But if Chuck wants to borrow it.
But the availability of something that's on streaming leads you to go like, I guess I'll watch this.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, exactly.
Not bad, but not fantastic. The premise, you walk into it expecting a kind of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because the premise is that there's some kind of sickness, some kind of outbreak that if people look at what you would assume is the monster, they see something that causes them to want to kill themselves. So something very H.P. Lovecraft-like.
Yeah. You did watch this, you said?
I did.
Okay.
I did. But then that's why everyone's running around with blindfolds on. Yeah. Because they don't want to look. You can hear the monster, but if you look at the monster, you're going to try and kill yourself.
It sounds like how I feel in the morning when I wake up and look in the mirror every day sometimes.
Oh, no.
Oh, did I just take it down a notch?
I liked it.
It's because my face is so ugly.
You paid $50 for a sign of that face.
You know? Yeah.
Well, you wanted everybody else to feel that pain, I guess.
Notice it. You right. They're like, oh my God, that poor man. He needs some plastic surgery to fix that face.
I think your face is fine.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm delighted.
My boss is handsome, too. So is my girlfriend.
There you go.
Really like this episode of Nerdery. I really do. I'm happy right now.
2019 off the bang, man.
Okay, so you saw it.
Yes.
How many scenes are there of close-ups, like tight shots on Sandra Bullock, just sitting there going?
Quite a few.
I thought you're going somewhere else with that.
No, quite a few.
There's quite taking it down Perv Lane.
Yeah, no, there's quite a few of Sandra Bullock like freaking out because you can hear the monster. Yeah. You know it's right in front of you, but you know you can't look at it because then you will die.
Like a slow cello in the background or
right.
something.
And she's trying to lead these two children through down this river so they can go to this this place where they're supposed
sanctuary.
To be safe. Yeah, sanctuary.
Okay. To be fair, whoever the hell is outside the door waiting to come in here is probably doing the same thing.
Right, right. It's a little bit like if I can put a positive spin on it, it's a little like watching The Walking Dead, except it only took about 2 hours, and it's like compressed, so I didn't have to watch an entire season of stuff.
It's like eight seasons in one movie, huh?
Right, because it's kind of an outbreak type of thing, a survival horror kind of movie kind of thing. But the monster doesn't quite live up to your expectations.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately.
I hate when the monsters never live up to the expectations.
Yeah, well, you know, you walk into a horror movie thinking like, oh, it's this one thing. It's going to be great. Gotcha. And then when you get to the end of it, you're like, oh, it's not the thing I thought it was going
to
be.
Speaking of monsters, real quick, because I know we got stuff to get to. Mm-hmm. Have you guys end up seeing Aquaman yet?
No.
Okay, then never mind. I was going to ask what your take. There's a monster. You see an Aquaman. I wonder what your guys' take was on it.
Okay. I was thinking over this. I knew over the holiday season there were two things I wanted to go to the theater to see: Aquaman and Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and saw Bumblebee.
Oh, okay, cool.
By the time Bumblebee was over, not saying it was a bad movie, but by the time Bumblebee was over, I wished I'd have gone and seen Into the Spider-Verse again.
Really?
I love the Spider-Verse movie so much that it kind of tarnished this Transformers movie that I was super excited about. You get like a full 7 minutes of Cybertron stuff.
Wow.
Where, you know, like Optimus Prime looks like Optimus Prime, and you're like, oh, there's that guy, and there's that guy, and oh, cool.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, the main movie on Earth with Bumblebee is real cute with him and the girl, and John Cena's in it. And,
yeah.
You know, playing the military guy, and he's real good. That was a thing that Amy had pointed out, too, at the very end when John Cena, who's the military guy, who's hunting Bumblebee through the whole movie,
yeah,
and then they join up with the Decepticons. Guy. And he goes to his superiors and says, they're called Decepticons. Why are we trusting them?
That is funny.
Which is pretty cool.
He's a smart man.
Right. But then at the very end, when he comes around to the fact that the Decepticons are the bad guys, Mumblebee's the good guy, Amy pointed out that he should have said something like, you need to go. Your time is now. And he didn't. He didn't have nothing.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, and I have to believe that when the DVD comes out, somebody who's playing with the CGI, somebody had to take the hour to make the Bumblebee do the You Can't See Me. Like, if you didn't do that, and that your job was to animate Bumblebee, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
There's got
to
be something out there.
Got to be
if
something.
Not, nerds, get on it. Make it happen.
Exactly. But by the time I got through Bumblebee, I looked at Amy. I was like, I can't go see Aquaman. If you I watch this movie, I am super pumped about and was like, man, Spider-Verse was so good. Man, I should have just went and saw Spider-Verse again. That was so good. That I can't go see a movie I'm lukewarm about.
Yeah, I hear you.
James, have you made it to Spider-Verse?
I have not.
Okay.
That's probably one I'll wait to check out.
I've probably overhyped it at this point. It's probably, you guys are going to be like, it's not all that.
I'm still behind even.
Well, for me, those, like, the storylines, I find the storyline very confusing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
The different multiverses.
The different Spider-Mans.
I'm like, come on, there's more than one reality? Oh, what? It's just a comic concept that's always boggled my brain.
Yeah. I don't eluded you, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I actually I ordered a bunch of, I usually get the comic book movies on Blu-ray and stuff when they come out, and I was so far behind, I just went through an order to, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Still haven't seen it.
Venom.
Still haven't seen it. And I also got the couple that I had seen. Saw Black Panther, saw, you know, Infinity War, the part one.
Right.
And I hadn't gotten it yet, so I ordered it all, like, just the whole thing. I was like, just do it at once, order Amazon,
just come
on.
All these DVDs, I'll get to them.
And, of course, yeah, they send me the updates, and, like,
I'm going to derail things again. So do you guys ever feel pressured to purchase Black Panther or to not purchase Black Panther?
Pressured? I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Because ever since the Black Panther becoming like such a big
thing, a social phenomenon.
I feel like if I don't own Black Panther, my black friends would be like, why don't you own Black Panther?
Well,
you
maybe.
Own every other single Marvel movie but Black Panther. Why don't you own Black Panther? And I feel like if I do own Black Panther, my friends who know that I just thought Black Panther was just okay, I'm going to be like, oh, so you
went and bought that
Black Panther, huh? Worried about what our black friends are going to think if you don't have Black Panther,
right?
I mean, maybe I'm alone in that feeling. But
yeah, it's
like, no, Marvel. I think there are plenty of people.
I see where you're coming from.
Very
now.
Stressed about one Blu-ray movie release, you know?
Well, you're going to buy Captain Marvel, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
If you don't buy Captain Marvel, you got something against women superheroes?
Well, I got Wonder Woman.
All right,
there you go.
You know, it's a different team, but
right,
same concept.
Yeah, no, I ordered it, but I have all the rest of them. I think that's the oldest one that I had not purchased yet.
Gotcha.
Everything leading up to Black Panther, I already had, and I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, you know, I get it online and I get the email like your items have shipped or whatever, and it's like, it got separated into two different shipments, and here's the ones that are coming earlier, and of course it's all the ones I have seen, and the two I need to see are coming,
like, coming later.
4 days later.
Yeah.
Son of a...
It doesn't matter. You're going to sit on them for months.
Oh, I know.
It's like comics.
I didn't borrow them from Amazon. I bought them.
Oh, it's different if you bought them.
Yeah.
If you spent money, it's a priority.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
You got to get his money's worth.
All right, well, as I was saying earlier, there was...
45 minutes ago.
There was Bird Box, which is okay. But the thing I can heartily recommend, just released a couple of days ago, is the new episode, I say with air quotes, of Black Mirror.
I heard it was referred to as a movie.
It is. It's a full length, like, it's about 90 minutes. But the thing that's really fun about it is it's a choose-your-own-adventure movie.
Now, I'm very curious about that. Are you on board with Black Mirror? Or...
It's like a British Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
right?
It's all about technology, you know, turning on us in different ways.
Overall, gotcha. Yeah, the overall synopsis of the show is beware of the singularity, basically. And it's different ways of how social media and trial by social media and public opinion is going to corrupt us, how relying on devices and technology too much is going to be our downfall. Is all that kind of stuff. That's basically what Black Mirror is. But every episode is standalone. And I will say, like you mentioned, the Twilight Zone. I've heard other shows described that way. Oh, it's sort of like the Twilight Zone again. This one is the closest comparison I've ever seen, where it really is like a modern Twilight Zone.
Like every episode has some sort of a, kind of a dark twist.
Yes.
This mirrors our normal daily life and society and stuff.
Like one is, you know, I mean, one episode in particular, like you can rate your interactions with people. So you annoy someone at wrestling, they can downgrade you.
Oh, don't do that.
You know, or they thought you were funny and they can upgrade you too.
Please do.
So yeah, exactly. And so like, and your status in society is based on your ratings from people.
Oh man, but it's like I'd have just a giant turd emoji right on my shirt.
Yes, you would.
One giant turd emoji and maybe a thumbs down right over my heart.
Yeah. But that's the kind of stuff that they have in there. Now, so you mentioned this movie, Chuck. You mentioned that to me before we started recording and started to tell me about it, and I said, stop. I want to hear about this on the show because it sounds very interesting.
Okay, so the plot of this movie is that it takes place in the 80s, and you follow this this kid who's a computer programmer who's making a video game, and he is...
Matthew Broderick, War Games?
No, it's not Matthew Broderick. However, the game he's making is based on a novel called Bandersnatch, which is one of the creatures from...
Black Lagoon?
No.
You're
not being helpful at all!
I'm sorry. I'll do the rest of the show from over here.
It's one of the creatures from Alice in Wonderland. And there's a lot of Alice in Wonderland imagery.
Really?
No, I've
once heard of a Bandersnatch.
Once you're on board with that, you see a lot of like, oh, well, that represents the White Rabbit, and that represents the Mad Hatter, and okay, cool. But the way the movie works, right from the get-go, the kid wakes up, and he comes downstairs, and his dad's there, and he's going to have breakfast, and his dad looks at the camera and says, do you want Frosted Flakes, or do you want Rice Krispies? And then the screen letterboxes, and on the bottom you can pick Frosted Flakes or Rice Krispies with your no matter what you've got. Like I watched it with my PlayStation 4. My controller vibrated to let me know there was a decision, and then I could pick left or right and press the play button. And this it's seamless the way it flows. Like you would think there's a cut where you're like, oh well, this is how this works kind of thing. But it flows seamlessly, which is kind of cool.
My own question is, do you actually get to make decisions that, like, make the plot change? Or is it just, like, all like menial choices? Like, do you want cornflakes or Frosted Flakes?
The first couple of choices...
Paper or plastic?
The first couple of choices they give you are really silly, tiny decisions.
Very
that
cool.
You're like, well, that doesn't matter kind
Very
of thing.
Cool.
And I got three or four decisions in and made a decision where a character looked at it and was like, wrong decision, mate. You should probably go back to the beginning. And they, like, say that two or three times. And then it starts over.
Oh.
And when it starts over, it quickly goes through all the decisions you've already made to lead up to the decision you should have made differently.
Okay.
But it as the movie progresses, the character that you're making the decisions for starts to realize he's not in control of making these decisions. Something else is making him do these things.
And it's kind of
really cool. Yeah,
that's really,
a really cool concept.
Fascinating. There's supposed to be five endings. One of them is a good ending, and it's not all that great. But I played it / watched it for probably about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, just to see if I could see everything, and still didn't see. Like, I could go back and play it again and make a couple of other different decisions. Well, and
a couple other video games that have been favorites of mine that we've talked about here is Heavy Rain and that Detroit Becoming Human game. I can't remember that guy's David Cage or David Gage or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But those, you know, I don't know if you played any of those games. They're not action packed, but it's a story. It's an interactive story more than anything.
They're an interactive CGI story.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah, this is like...
And I loved those games, and that was part of it, really, was the story behind it. It was so good.
I already enjoyed Black Mirror as a series anyways, and then this is just... I guess Netflix is thinking about doing this more. This kind of interactive storytelling thing. And the thing that I found fascinating is after I'd made a couple decisions, seen a couple endings, seen the backtrack and stuff like that, I started to doubt that I was actually in control of the movie.
Yeah.
Because I can't logistically see how they figured out how to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it started to become the point, like, how they wouldn't have filmed this and this and this if they would have thought I was not going to see it.
Right.
So am I really making the right, am I really making decisions that's changing the movie, or am I just watching a movie and they just keep popping up decisions to make me feel like I'm doing a thing, which feeds back into the guy who thinks he's not in control of his own reality kind of thing. So it's fun.
I think about that sometimes playing a video game, some of the like banter, some of the dialogue,
sure,
and how that, you know, how you play a game these days can change it. Like, there's voice actors that recorded lines you may never hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thousands of lines that you might never, ever get to. Huh. It's really good. I can't recommend it enough.
That's cool. So is it on Netflix as it like a standalone thing?
It is, or currently is it on Netflix as Black Mirror Bandersnatch. Black Mirror.
Okay.
Yep, as its own thing. And I definitely recommend taking an hour or two to check it out, because it was super fun.
Put that on my list of things to check out.
I may have to do that this weekend. That's a really cool idea. And I want to actually see it this time, because the last time I really was like, wow, what a great idea was that Hardcore Henry, and I never ended up seeing it.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Was it? Because I remember seeing that and like, wow, it's, you know, POV action movie. That's super. Yep. That's a cool idea, and it's a novelty thing. The movie probably is terrible, but I wanted to go see it.
It was just okay. I feel like it was okay. It was interesting because it was a new concept.
Right.
For some of it was hard for me to follow, because like, if you're doing a backflip, like the camera does a backflip, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you're not. You have to stop and think, like, why is the camera flipping? Oh, you must be doing a backflip.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. All right, cool.
That's what's going on. And you always forget, because the people are always coming up and looking right in the camera and talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same dude from, what's the movie? Is it District 9?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the guy from District 9.
You know, from District 9, I think he voice Chappie or something, too?
Yep.
Or he's involved. Somehow, it's that guy, and he's always playing these different characters. He's always all in your face.
Yeah, you
like
first meet him, and he's somebody
stuff.
Else, and then like 5 or 10 minutes later, you meet him again, and he's a different guy?
Yeah, and then the ending of the movie is just weird, like a weird, like you just finished a really weird video game.
It felt a little bit like when they did Unfriended, that horror movie that took place
all on,
it's fun, but it felt like something that's like, okay, you can't do this again.
Gotcha.
Like, it's cool that you did it once, but and that's how Hardcore Henry felt. It's like, this cool as this happened once, but I don't want it to turn into like the Blair Witch Project stuff, the found footage stuff, where like, I don't want to see a million first person movies.
Right. Well, exactly. Because I said, I'm sure it was a novelty thing, and I never actually had confidence that the movie was going to be good.
Right.
But it seemed like a cool idea.
Well, I'm hoping for you people at home that you have confidence that in 2019, Nerd Radio is going to be good, because it's been good already. I'm just saying.
I mean,
it's been amazing.
It's been great.
I'm enjoying it.
We're off to a great start.
We got a list of 12 things to talk about. We hit two of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the rest of them are going to have to wait until next week, man. That's all the time we got this week.
This is how Nerd Radio works.
Yeah. Some of the stuff stays in the run sheet, and then if it stays there long enough, then it's just old, and we got to throw it out. Just like the run sheet's essentially the Nerd Radio refrigerator.
Nice.
Yeah, it is.
Does it smell like it's rotten yet?
Sometimes. Ooh. Sometimes. There were a couple things I had to throw out over the holidays.
It may have been me. I'm sorry, James.
Oh, Al's farting over here. Thanks, Al.
All right. Follow us on all the social media.
Nerd Radio 101.
Nerd Radio 101. And of course,
I got you, buddy.
Download us wherever you get your downloads. Give us the stars on iTunes. Give us a review.
Thought I'd be helpful just once this
just
episode.
Once? Just once.
Nerd Radio 101.
I appreciate you being helpful once.
Once.
It's the only thing he can remember about the show is the name of it.
Mm. I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out!
Those guys are legit professionals. Because, Drew McIntyre, you might not know. So Drew McIntyre, the whole time, once I saw that it's going to be a cage match between Dolph and Drew.
Sure.
I was like, I am going to boo the out of Drew McIntyre. Like, I'm booing the out of this guy. And I did. And, like, right up in his face, like, boom! He looks right past you, doesn't even see you.
Oh,
he turns to get in the ring, takes off his million-dollar leather jacket. And I'm like, holy
That's how I know
he saw me.
That's like, usually how we start our day in the morning.
James
comes in, boom!
Right in your face.
Hey, Al.
Boom!
Morning, bitch!
Everything's starting on time, James. I don't know what that's all about.
Why
are you booing me?
You're the show heel. I'm the face.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.